everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gen STEM. As usual, I'm your host, Neha, and I'm super excited to be back and discussing a new topic with you all. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, or if you aren't very familiar with Gen STEM is a podcast that discusses all the current events and new discoveries happening in the STEM field. Additionally, we also discuss tips and advice for aspiring STEM professionals. You can learn more about our podcast and its goals by watching our trailer. But watch the trailer after listening to this episode, of course. So in this episode, we'll give you an introduction to cybersecurity. So if you're interested in learning more about it, please continue listening. So first of all, what exactly is cybersecurity? In a formal definition, cybersecurity is a technology and the process that is designed to protect networks and devices from attack, damage, or unauthorized access. It's also referred to as information technology security sometimes. One of the notable things to know about cybersecurity is that it's a continuously changing field. Since our world relies on technology more than ever, the development of new technologies goes up. This in turn opens up new avenues for cyber attacks. Hackers are becoming smarter and more creative with their malware, and how they bypass virus scans and firewalls still baffles many people. Therefore, there should be some kind of protocol that protects us from all kinds of these cyber attacks and makes sure that our data doesn't fall into the wrong hands. This is exactly why we need cybersecurity. One of the common questions when it comes to talking about cybersecurity is, what exactly are we trying to protect ourselves against? Well, there are three main aspects that we're trying to control, and these three terms are very commonly known as the CIA triad. The CIA triad stands for confidentiality, integrity, and availability. This is also commonly referred to as the three pillars of security, and it's a design model to help guide companies and organizations to form their own security policies. But another thing to know is that some people also call it the AIC triad in order to avoid confusion with the Central Intelligence Agency. Since the components of the triad are considered to be the most important and fundamental components of security, I want to brief you all about the three components. First up, we have confidentiality. This is the protection of your personal information. This means keeping your client's information between you and the client. You can't tell others, including your coworkers, friends, family, and etc. So in short, only authorized people should be able to access or read specific computer systems and data. An example of an attack on this are data breaches, where hackers reveal people's credit card information sometimes. Second up, we have integrity. In the context of computer systems, this refers to the methods of ensuring that data is real and accurate. Most importantly, it also ensures that data is safeguarded from unauthorized user modification. So only authorized people should have the ability to use or modify systems and data. An example of an attack of this is when hackers learn your password and send emails disguised as you. Last but not least, we have availability. Again, in the context of computer systems, this refers to the ability of a user to access information or resources in a specified location and in the correct format. So basically, authorized people should always have access to their systems and data. An example of an availability attack are denial of service attacks, where hackers overload the website with fake requests in order to make it slow or unreachable to others. Now that you know about the three pillars of security, let's talk about the methods for protecting them. So there are many methods for protecting computer systems, networks, and data. But most of the security comes down to two main questions. Who are you and what should you have access to? The most straightforward answer to this is that access should be given to the right people, but refused to the wrong people. So in order to differentiate between the right and wrong people, we use something called authentication. This is a process where computers understand who it's interacting with. Generally, there are three types of authentication. The first one is what you know, the second one is what you have, and the third one is what you are. So the first one is what you know. This is based on the knowledge of a secret that should be only known by the real user and the computer. A very common example of this is a username and password. This is widely used because it is the easiest to implement. But the negative side to this method is that it can be often compromised if the hackers guess or somehow come to know your secret. Some passwords are easy to guess. Some examples of these easy passwords are 12345 or the word password as your password. That's why it's really important that you have a strong password. Some guidelines to keep in mind when creating a strong password are make it long. use a mix of characters, and don't use memorable keyboard paths. But on the other hand, for the method, what you have is based on the position of a secret token that only the real users have. An example of this is a physical key unlock. You can only unlock the lock if you have the specific key. So a positive thing about this is that it escapes the problem of being guessable. And since they typically require a physical presence, it's much harder for remote hackers to gain access. But a negative side to this method is the authentication can be compromised if a hacker is physically close. Remember that keys can be copied, smartphones can be stolen, and locks can be picked. Finally, we have the method for what you are. This type of authentication is literally just based on you. You authenticate by presenting yourself to the computer. Very common examples of this method are fingerprint readers and iris scanners. These can be very secure, but they can also be quite expensive. But keep in mind that there's still some chance that the system won't recognize you. This might be due to bad lighting, or you're wearing a hat. Or even worse, there might be a chance that the system will recognize someone else as you. Now that we know what we're trying to protect ourselves from, and about authentication, how exactly is cybersecurity implemented? Well, there are numerous procedures for actually implementing cybersecurity, but there are three main steps when actually fixing a security-related issue. The first step is to recognize the problem that is causing the security issue. For example, we have to recognize whether there is a denial-of-service attack or a man in the middle of the attack. The next step is to evaluate and analyze the problem. We have to make sure that we have to isolate all the data and information that might have been compromised in the attack. Finally, after evaluating and analyzing the problem, the final step is to develop a patch that actually solves the problem and brings back the organization to a running state. Before we start to wrap up this episode, I want to talk to you about some careers in the cybersecurity field. It's a growing field with many opportunities, and many different types of jobs are in the field. First of all, we have cryptographers, and they help organizations safely and securely communicate and exchange information. They develop and crack codes and puzzles. They also encrypt data by writing algorithms and security protocols. Second up, we have security analysts, and they protect organizations' data from cyber attacks. They typically install computer security software and train employees to use secure processes. They also often work with managers and employees to identify effective security plans and procedures. Keep in mind that these are only some of the jobs I talked about, and there are many more. So if you want to know more, please feel free to research more. So if you're interested in cybersecurity, here are some few things that you can do to start preparing yourself for the career in cybersecurity. First of all, take courses online. Some of the courses I would recommend to you are EDX Essentials of Cybersecurity and Coursera's Introduction to Cybersecurity Specialization. There are also many other courses online, so do some research on them too. Second of all, practice. You should start to play around with code and talk to other people who are as interested in computers and security as you are. Third of all, participate in competitions. There are so many challenges such as these Global Cyber Olympics, and that will give you a chance to test your skills and maybe even win a prize. Well, that's all for today, and I'm going to start wrapping up this episode now. I'm hopeful that you got an introduction to cybersecurity. If you liked this week's episode, please subscribe to my podcast and stay in tune for the next episode. While you're waiting, you can also check out our blog at genstem.wixsite.com/genstem, genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. And if you didn't watch your previous episodes, feel free to go check them out also. In the first episode, we talked about tips for landing remote internships not to ace your next virtual interview. In the second episode, we talked about steps for vaccine development. In the third episode, we talked about what dark matter and dark energy exactly are. In the fourth episode, we talked about the impact of environmental issues on human health. In the fifth episode, we talked about the good and the bad about CRISPR. In the sixth episode, we talked about natural selection and the evidence behind it. In the seventh episode, we talked about what exactly biodiversity is. And finally, in our eighth episode, we talked about tips on how to land research opportunities. And if there are any topics that you want to be discussed on GenStem, or you have any questions about the podcast, please feel free to email me at genstemblog@gmail.com. genstemblog@gmail.com. I'm open to any new ideas, and I'll try to respond to them as soon as possible. I also started an Instagram account for GenSTEM just recently, so I'd appreciate it if you would support us over there too. I'll also post all the new updates there so you can be up to date and well informed on what's going on at GenSTEM. I look forward to talking to you all again next week. And as usual, in the meantime, keep learning and stay curious.